Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Welcome back to the program. This past weekend, the extraordinary Papal Synod on the Family convened to discuss issues regarding the Catholic Church's gay and divorced members. Father Mark Englott of East Lansing St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in St. John's Church joins us now to discuss the outcome and what may be next. Welcome, Father Mark. Good to see you.
Good to be with you, Mark.
Can you recap the basics of what the extraordinary Papal Synod on the Family did? The who, the what, and the why here?
Well, actually, it all began with a questionnaire that was sent around the world, which is one of the things that made it out of the ordinary, extraordinary. And it was just a question on the complex issues facing families today. And that was sent to dioceses around the world. And then what happened is the synod, and a synod is, it comes from the Greek word, you know, synhodos, which means walking together, journeying together. The Greek word hodos is where it comes from. And a lot of denominations have adopted that journeying together. And in the Catholic Church, we've gathered bishops from all over the world to kind of journey together, to talk about how we journey together as a billion Catholics in the world today. This one was extraordinary in the fact that it focused on one issue, and that was the complex issue of family life in today's world, in today's culture, in today's societies. And so it was a two-week meeting in Rome. It would had about 200 bishops. The other thing that made it kind of out of the ordinary is that there were 16 experts, psychologists, sociologists, anthropologists, theologians, and there was also 36 other couples, or 13 other couples, which made the complement about 36 other people that acted as observers.
But did it explicitly, did the original message that went out, did that explicitly address gay members divorced members?
Great question. The original, what they did is, after this two-week meeting, it was supposed to come up with an agenda, you know, kind of a document, a working document, a document in progress that was supposed to then act as a starting point for future discussions that were going to take place over the next year and culminate in a gathering on the family, which is going to be in Philadelphia in a year. And so this is kind of a working document. And so when it was presented, the draft of this working document was presented, and that's what came out first and got everybody all excited because it had language, first of all, addressing in a new and different way this dialogue based on the experiences that came from those questionnaires, LGBT issues and divorced and separated Catholics. And those three paragraphs were not voted upon or were voted upon by the majority, but didn't reach a majority. So they didn't reach the 23rd or the 2/3 majority to go into this final draft. But what Francis did this week is said, include the paragraphs anyway and include how each bishop voted beside each paragraph.
What do you make of that?
Three things. That it means further discussion is needed in those three paragraphs. It could mean that the votes were close. It could mean that some bishops didn't think that those paragraphs went far enough, and some bishops might have thought that they didn't like the language or the tone.
Well, did Fran-
and specifically, I think I know what words they are. You know, there was the you know, welcome, the word welcome, the word qualities and gifts in terms of LGBT people.
Right. Yeah.
And what they did is they went back to the catechism, which said, you know, you should treat LGBT people with respect, with sensitivity, with compassion, which means with love. I just think it means, it doesn't mean that they were omitted because there was disagreement with the content necessarily. It could mean that further discussion is needed, or some people didn't think that they went far enough in their language, and maybe some people didn't disagree. But I think to assume that it was just, you know, monumental disagreement on the language or the tone is probably not true. And Francis says, include them anyway.
Did Francis overrule the vote of the bishops here?
No, I don't think he overruled it. But what he says and what he said at the end, he said, you know, I am, he said, here I am. I am the Pope. In other words, you know, the Jesuits always do this in terms of their superiors. It's like, you discern, we will discern, I will decide. And he decided that even though the 2/3 majority wasn't reached in terms of those three hot button cultural issues, he wanted them included anyway. And so how do we interpret that? I think we can interpret it in three ways: disagreement, or they didn't go far enough,
right,
or the votes were close.
Father Mark Englott here of the St. Thomas Aquinas Parish and St. John's Church in East Lansing is our guest here. It's been reported pretty widely that this discussion, we'll call it, is symptomatic of a split in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's symptomatic of something. I think what the Synod tried to do, especially with the questionnaire, with the transparency of the vote, with the invitation to experts and to married couples and to different people kind of forming a cross-section of the church, it kind of took the temperature of the church. And obviously we know that there are some wounds out there. And what Francis is saying is the medicine is mercy. And that's what's different. Now, I think that more people, more priests that I know have paid attention to this two-week synod than any other synod. Because it matters. Because we all are from a family. And I think just existentially, it applies to everyone. And that's what made it, you know, I think so significant. I'm not sure that there are competing views as much as there are complementary views. And I think that the dialogue is the important thing. And, you know, the solutions, if there are problems and they are complex, that's something that's all on the table in the next year.
And what does this mean for next year's synod meeting?
Well, I think that two things that are different in this go around, I think. The divisions are out in the open, and I think that what he invited people to do at the beginning of the synod, too, is to speak freely and to listen attentively. And I think that's a nice combination, to speak freely, listen attentively, so that as we journey together around this issue of family today in our world, in our society, in our church, you know, how are we going to address it? How are we going to pastorally approach it and to help it and to heal it?
I have to ask you what members in your parish are saying about this development. Is this generating an awful lot of discussion?
More than ever, more than anything else. And I think it's because we all come from a family. The other thing is when the first draft was presented, people were excited, people were happy, people were relieved in a sense. And then when the final draft came out, and again, it's still a final draft, they were a little bit disappointed that some of the bold language was not in there. One of the things that Pope Francis said, too, is that, you know, God's not afraid of new things. We shouldn't be either. And
along those same lines, Francis here, I did scribble down a quote. He said he cautioned against hostile inflexibility, that is, wanting to close oneself within the written word and not allowing oneself to be surprised by God.
Yes.
Interesting
yeah.
choice of words there.
Yeah. Well, that's the Jesuit poet Gerard Manley Hopkins said, too. We need to be, you know, surprised by joy and astonished by God and the way he works. We have doctrines and we have dogmas, but that doesn't mean we have to be doctrinaire and dogmatic. And that's the difference. And I think that the church, and this is the impression that I think Francis thinks that the world has of the church, is that in the church is the people of God as well as our leadership, is that we do have doctrines and dogmas, and they shape us and they lead us and they guide us and they serve us. But sometimes we can become doctrinaire and dogmatic because of those doctrines and dogmas.
Mm-hmm. How long, back to the synod here, how long does it take for synod language to be shared?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I'm surprised about is the final draft that was submitted with the names and with the three paragraphs that have been retained, even though they didn't reach a majority. I looked online this morning and it's still not been released, which, you know, and so how do you interpret that? I think that they are being very careful about the translation of the language, the tone of the language. And I think that Francis is probably behind that too, saying, we want to present a draft that is a starting point for further discussion, and this draft is very important, and so let's make sure that it is translated correctly with not only content but tone.
East Lansing's Father Mark Englert is our guest here today on Current State on WKAR. How do you think more conservative members of the church are going to respond to Francis's move to keep the language in there? Has that started to unfold?
Not that I know of, but what I think that it's going to do for people that are of many different opinions is further the discussion. And at least we have the language now. It's on the table. And I think that if people understand, no matter what their ideology is, that these are points of discussion and dialogue. And we have to, again, you know, no matter what our ideology is, we have to speak freely and listen attentively. And I think that's a framework that will serve everybody in the church, no matter what their ideological bent. That'll serve them very well.
What changes do you see moving here? I mean, the contrast between Francis and Benedict has been written about and talked about at length.
The Francis effect.
The Francis effect, exactly. Is that transition really emblematic of the kinds of
the complexity of the issues?
Well,
doesn't
that
sound better? It means the same thing, but
talk to us about that transition from Benedict to Francis and how that's impacted.
Well, I think you have to go back even one more pontiff, and that's the transition between John Paul II and Benedict and Francis. And, you know, we all know now, because some of the cardinals leaked it, that Francis was the second runner-up in 2005. So I think that many of the cardinals thought that the church was ready for Francis, and then some did not. And maybe things had to get worse to get better. But, you know, in terms of the institutional church, John Paul traveled the world and left the institutional church to the cardinals in Rome. Benedict delved into his books and his writing and left the running of the institutional church to the cardinals. Francis is not like that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't travel. And I mean, he reads and writes, but his mission is to address the institutional structure of the church so that it might serve the world better. That's a big difference.
Father Mark Englert of East Lansing St. Thomas Aquinas Parish and St. John's Church has been our guest here. We've been talking about the extraordinary papal synod on the family. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.